been lost in let's remember. You think I'm feeling older and missing my younger days? Oh, then you should have known me much better. Cause my past is something that never got in my way.
Oh, 720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and on the line, honored to have one of the nation's foremost medical health and preparedness voices. You see him everywhere, all of the networks, of course, his books. He is the former director of the CDC and the current CEO and president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the one and only Dr. Richard Besser. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, no, it's great to have you on. These are busy times, and your insight and information is, of course, much needed, and you're in high demand, so appreciate you taking time for the listeners today. I wanted to ask you, one of the things that's out there that is kind of interesting related to the pandemic is the stock market seems to have rebounded for the most part and hitting some serious highs, but still so many businesses are closed, workers in key industries still out of work. It's a strange kind of diversion of financial indicators going on.
Yeah, I think that is striking, and it's very timely given the poll that we just did with Harvard School of Public Health and NPR. We think about this pandemic as something that's affecting everyone, and it is. But when you think about it in terms of we're all in this together, when you see the stock market soaring, that tells you that some people are doing okay financially. But what our survey found was that, looking at the four largest cities in America, half of households are reporting serious financial problems. And it's not hitting everyone in every community the same. Those who have lower incomes, Black and Latino communities are being hit incredibly hard. And we need to ensure that we do something about that. We've spent hundreds of billions of dollars to give support to people, but it's not enough. People are suffering. It's striking the number of people who have either used up all of their savings or are close to using up their savings. And these are still early days in the pandemic.
I know, of course, a lot of listeners will be interested to hear about the poll, too, because it's the four largest cities, and of course, Chicago being one. Dr. Besser, specifically to Chicago, was it just all larger cities that have kind of similar population demographics, or what was unique about Chicago that you saw related to the poll?
Well, Chicago, New York, Houston, L.A., a very similar picture. We looked at large cities thinking that large cities might actually be doing a little better because there are more social services and supports available. But what we found in Chicago was similar to what we saw in other large cities, and that's that half of Chicago households reported serious financial problems. 3 out of 10 said that they used up most of their savings. On the employment side, about half of the households in Chicago said that someone there had either lost their job or been furloughed or had their wages reduced since the start of the pandemic. And when you look at support checks that came and were so incredibly important to people, that was months ago. And how far can a $1,200 check go when you have to pay rent and put food on the table and take care of overall needs? What we're seeing in Chicago is what we're seeing elsewhere, and that's that lower income people, Black individuals, Latino individuals, definitely being hit harder.
In a big city, there's a lot of pressure anyway, and I think even with parents, this week specifically, CPS, Chicago Public Schools, started 300,000 students all going back to school. That's always, as a parent, kind of a stressful time anyway, and now, of course, you've got the new logistics of building in the remote learning for all of those students, a tech infrastructure that just isn't really in there, and then you have parents, like you said, that are going through a lot of these financial difficulties on the personal basis, have to build in all of that back-to-school stuff as well, specifically to the Black and Latino communities, which is a big part of our student body and the demographics here in Chicago when it comes to all of that stuff going back to school, specifically to them. Is it because typically the jobs or the industries that they would normally participate have been hardest hit, maybe most in danger? Is, where were the statistics when it came up to the minority communities?
Yeah, this survey didn't specifically look at that, but we know from other sources of information, higher proportions of Black and Latino communities are essential workers. And if you're an essential worker, that means that you were out and about and your risk of exposure was greater. a higher proportion are in jobs that either don't have unemployment insurance or don't have sick leave or family medical leave. So if you're sick, you're having to decide, well, do I stay home and take care of myself or a loved one, or do I go to work? And often that decision is, do I want to put food on the table or pay rent? And that's a decision no one should have to be making. And we can address that from a policy side. You know, as kids are going back to school, I really worry that this could worsen. And the challenges that we're seeing in lower income communities and communities of color are just going to be exacerbated, because many of these communities don't have the resources for their schools to be able to hire additional staff to do the cleaning that's recommended, to do the screening of students and teachers and staff, to look at the airflow to make sure that the classrooms are as safe as possible. And so either these schools will not reopen, in which case the quality of education will be lower.
Wow.
Or they will reopen in a way that's not as safe. And if they're not reopening, then you have the problems that we did see in this survey, where 4 out of 10 households reported problems with the internet and access. There's more and more schools are going remote and people are working remotely. You know, we don't have the infrastructure, the broadband, to be able to provide what's needed to people, to be able to do their remote education and their own remote work. We can fix this. It is a fixable problem, but it's going to take time.
Let the listeners know we're talking with the former director of the CDC and CEO and president of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the one and only Dr. Richard Besser. One of the silver lines, and it's tough to kind of look for those, especially when there's so many challenges going on currently and coming up on the horizon, but as we build into sort of that infrastructure on the internet and the Wi-Fi side, what are some of the positives that you see, you know, once this pandemic has passed? I know it's hard to look past, but to have that in place, especially in you know, challenged communities or inner city communities, whether it's access to maybe additional instruction or educators on the internet and school side, but also maybe disseminating health information or doing some of those wellness checkups.
Yeah. I think we have a real opportunity here, and we have an opportunity to decide as a nation, what kind of country do we want to be? Do we want to address these challenges? You know, we are one of the wealthiest nations in the world, yet we don't ensure that everyone has health insurance, that everyone has sick leave and family medical leave and unemployment insurance, that everyone has a job that pays a living wage. The COVID crisis just shines a bright light on these issues, and it shows us how different communities are affected in disproportionate fashion. And we can address this. We at the, at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, we're all in when it comes to policy change and looking to address this. We know in Chicago or in Illinois, they've extended the eviction protection through late September. That's good. But for many families, it's really a cliff, because it's not rent forgiveness or mortgage payment forgiveness. There's going to come a time where the landlord or the bank is going to be there and saying, okay, we need 6 months worth of rent or 6 months worth of mortgage payments. And do we really want that? Do we want hardworking families in America to be out on the street? I don't think so. I think that we've got the resources to do better than that.
Yeah, and for so many communities out there, this wasn't like everything was great, and then all of a sudden this just hit, right? A lot of these families, communities, and certainly even these cities on the financial side were struggling. These are conversations we have on the air all the time as far as budget shortfalls and all that. And then you hit this, you hit everybody with this kind of situation that affects everybody in some of the deepest ways. It's very challenging. So, Dr. Besser, as we let you go, is there information or a place that people can go to get more kind of updates on the work that you guys are doing at Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, or even your work maybe on social media, places to keep up with you?
Yeah, for sure. If the listeners go to our website, rwjf.org, there's all kinds of information there. You can follow RWJF on Twitter at RWJF. You can follow me at Dr. Rich Besser. Lots of information out there. It's so incredibly important that people stay informed because, pandemics, they spread around the entire globe, but they're really occurring as a local phenomenon. And what's happening in Chicago right now is different from what's happening in New York. It's different from what's happening in Florida. and you really want to know what's going on in your community and what your own local public health people are recommending you do.
Yep, it's tough times, and these are the toughest times. It's important to have voices like yours out there. So thanks so much for doing what you're doing with sharing all of this insight and inspiration, too. And then, of course, thanks for jumping on the show today.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.